Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Hey, mama. If you are a mom and are tired of the wash, rinse, repeat, burnout cycle of motherhood, this podcast is for you. If you feel lonely and isolated in your motherhood journey, this podcast is for you. If you feel like you have completely lost your identity since your babies were born, this podcast is for you. If you feel like every other mom has it together except for you, this podcast is for you. My name is Amanda, and I'm a life coach dedicated to teaching every mom the tools she needs to liberate herself off the back burner. I am living proof that a woman can be present and loving to her kids while also being a whole ass person outside of being that kid's mom. The secret? Learning when to say fuck it.
Hey guys, please excuse my hair. It's so not cute right now. If you're watching the video, if you're just listening, hello, everything's normal. It's actually like not terrible. I don't know. I just really like the way my hair looks when I curl it and it's styled. Laurelyn, stop looking at me. My daughter is in my bed right now because she's been sick with a stomach flu. Today's Wednesday for 3 days. Chewbacca, stop. This is going super well. Anyways, so she's just sitting there staring at me while I record this, and it's like getting in my head. But I have to do this because this episode comes out tomorrow and the sun is setting. So everything's fine. The dog is licking himself again right now, and it's fine because that's just what dogs do. He's just a dog being a dog. Everything's fine. Everything's fine, except for this fucking acne on my chin again. Why? 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 I'm 36. Why? This is not okay at all. This is the hand I've been dealt today, though, this week, really. It's just, it's fine. Everything's fine. Last weekend was a comp weekend, and this schedule sucked. It sucked like a giant bag of dicks, like sweaty gym dicks. It was so horrible. It was 4 days and I was there all 4 days between my three kids. I totaled up the amount of hours that I spent on this competition, including drive time, 35 hours. I basically almost put in a week's worth at a full-time job into a dance competition. What is my life? I'm going to make a whole podcast episode for my 35-hour comp weekend next week, because it was just way too crazy to not. But this week I had one of my first clients from last year came on. Her name's Megan, and she's sharing her journey with you guys. I'm so excited that she agreed to do it, but she was hesitant because she doesn't like public speaking. And I'm like, it's going to feel just like one of our calls, you know, just, you're going to totally forget that we're recording it. I'm so happy that she agreed to do it. Thank you so much, Megan, because her story is so incredible. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Let me know what you think about it in the review section of Apple Podcast, wink, wink, or the Q&A section of Spotify, and you'll be entered into my monthly book and Starbucks gift card raffle. And that includes you, Sophie, even though you're not my target audience. One of my daughter's teammates, my oldest daughter, one of her teammates loves my podcast and listens all the time in math class. Sophie, if you are in math class, honey, I love you. Please pay attention to math. I don't want you failing math class because you're not paying attention. But that includes you. So Sophie, if you win my book raffle, I'll make sure to pick like an age appropriate book, but you'll get a free Starbucks gift card too. It helps so much with the algorithms, guys. If you like this podcast, if you like any other podcast, the biggest thing that you can do for any podcast that you like is leave us a review in the review section of Apple Podcasts or the Q&A section of Spotify. Give it a 5-star review, subscribe. It makes such a big difference with that stupid algorithm that we all have to abide by. So I hope you enjoy this week's episode, and I will see you next week. Yeah. All right. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah, you're good.
This week's been a little, you know, every day is testing, right? You know, So you just breathe. And I my dad's like, what's your interview for today? Because they were going to come up here to bring me something.
Yeah.
And I was like, I told him, and he was like, oh, and he's like, that's awesome. You know, like, I think that's good. And, you know, he said, she's like, how did this come about? And I told him who it was with.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, he's like, yeah, he's like, I agree that I don't think you would have made it through what you made it through until you got your diagnosis had she not helped you through all that stuff. And I was like, yep, I agree 100%, because I could just at least breathe and try to deal with my other stuff, even though I wasn't, you know, 100%. So he's like, no, I think that's a good idea. I was like, yeah, I'm like, that's the only reason I'm doing it. Yeah. Otherwise, I would not do an interview. I hate speaking. I hate interview. No.
I really appreciate this. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Because I know that your story is going to like help so many other women in multiple different ways. So to everyone listening, welcome to this week's episode of Fuck It Mothering. And today I have like such a special guest. I'm so excited for you guys to meet Megan. She was one of my first clients last year, and she's agreed to come on the podcast and share her story with us. Megan, thank you so much for being here.
You're very welcome.
So tell us about like what you were going through when, like before you and I met, like your physical stuff, your health issues that were going on.
So do we have 3 hours? So before we met, I was dealing with an extreme amount of stress is what I thought, which, I mean, I was definitely, there was a lot of stress there. I own two businesses and I have two little kids that are always moving, always going. And I was having what they said originally was non-epileptic seizures caused due to stress. So I was having a lot of problems, like staying awake. I was having problems focusing. I was having just everything, like in general. And then I'd have these seizures that I knew what was going on during them, but I couldn't talk to you. I couldn't control anything, like, you know. Mm-hmm. So they told me that the only thing, because they were not epileptic seizures, they were non-epileptic, the only thing you could do was go and basically have therapy for it. There's people that like specialize in this, but this day and age, you know, you can't ever get in to see doctors and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, all right, well, I need to manage my stress. And that honestly is why I first came to see you, because that's what I thought it was
stress.
The stress I had, and right. I needed to figure out like how to control those. So I was at, before I even saw you, I think I was probably having, I'd say on average day, at least 2 to 4 seizures a day. And they would last couple minutes. It wasn't like super long usually. Yeah. But by the time I was done with the seizure, then I was super tired. Like I was
just gonna say, I'm sure that would take a lot out of you. It's not like you just like have a seizure real quick and then you're like, okay, I can go back to work.
And we met a year ago, and I are maybe a little over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, but like, so I was already dealing with this for 2 years before I even met you.
Wow.
But I was dealing with this, and they like it slowly started. It wasn't like I just all of a sudden one day started having like these things that look like seizures. It slowly started. Like it started with my knee. I'd feel like my knee was gonna give out almost. It was like all of a sudden I'd feel like my knee, and I'd be like, all right, I feel like I'm gonna fall over, kind of a thing.
Okay.
And that's how it started, very slowly. And honestly, I thought it was like, yeah, I know. And I thought it was honestly, I thought it was like I was low on iron or like that type of a thing was what I thought it was. Right. I mean, I didn't think it was what it ended up.
You didn't think it was a precursor to a seizure? Like no one would think that. Like, oh, my knee feels a little weak. I think I'm going to have a seizure.
So, yeah. And then I just kind of ignored it because, you know, us as women ignore our own bodies because we have everything else we're dealing with. We're dealing with our kids' problems. We're dealing with this problem and that problem. And
yeah,
so I kind of ignored it because I was like, oh, I'm just probably low on iron. I probably need to do something, you know, whatever. And it was a weekend that I was camping with my family and my aunt looked at me because I ended up having two that weekend, two like episodes is what we call them. And she is like, you need to go see a doctor.
Okay.
Now,
didn't you want to see a doctor? Like I have never had a seizure, but like, I imagine it to be kind of scary.
Yeah. Well, see, okay. So this is the thing. When they first started, they weren't as bad as they ended up getting.
Okay.
So like at the beginning, like I said, my knee would tremble. And I'd feel like I was going to fall over.
Uh-huh.
And so it was like started more like that. And so like I almost thought I was like passing out kind of a thing almost.
Okay.
And so I had two of these like episodes. And that's when I was like, okay, my aunt's like, you need to go see a doctor. And I was like, okay. So I explained to this doctor. And of course, you know, I didn't actually have a doctor at the time. I just had my like OB. So I just was like, give me whoever can see me first.
Right.
Kind of a thing. Well, it ended up being a PA, which is awesome because honestly, she is literally who diagnosed me pretty much. She knew. She did.
Wow.
From the get-go, that first appointment, she said what she thought it was. And then I had to go through all the hoops 4 years later to finally get diagnosed with it.
Oh my God, that drives me crazy.
Yeah. And mind you, too, think about 4 years ago. This was basically
pandemic time. Yep.
So again, doctors, you don't have the amount of doctors you normally had in, you know, in the offices because people were quitting and, you know, everything. Yes. So it was like, it was a mess anyway. So I saw this lady and, you know, she's like, huh, you know, because I said I was like tired and, for people that knew me before I had all this, like, I'm a very energetic person. I love working. I am a workaholic, and that hence why I have two businesses and two children that I'm still dealing with and running them around everything. And, you know, I mean, it's crazy, you know, but like, I like being busy. If I
were
just
how old were the kids
here,
4 years ago?
Let's see, 4 years ago, the kids would have been, Peyton would have been 3 and Lucas would have been 5.
Okay.
So 3 and 5.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were self-sufficient enough. My kids are very, you know, wanting to do everything themselves anyways, but like still.
Yeah.
They still needed me for things, you know, and
yeah.
Like,
3 is still young.
Yeah. Luckily, like I said, this did go like it started very slowly. So mm-hmm. like it wasn't just like right away having these seizures,
right?
It turned into that after a while, and it was I mean, I've learned how to control them. over the years I learned how to like kind of control them a little bit, but they would happen when I was happy, like so I was laughing, or when I would be crying, like so sad.
Yeah.
Or when I was like, for instance, right now, me talking to you about this because I'm passionate about this,
mm-hmm.
I probably would have had one.
Wow.
Because I'm like, so like things like that. So it like played on emotions.
Yeah. Like any and really so, big emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then guess what that meant to me? I didn't want to go and I didn't want to hang out with any of my friends, really. I didn't want to like, I mean, I didn't want to go and like have a drink with my friends.
Right.
I didn't want to, you know, there were so many things that like, I mean, I just wanted to stay at home. Now, don't get me wrong, I still love staying at home. Like, I like my house now that I'm older and have kids. Like, I like my house. I have no issue with it, you know? But that wasn't me. Mm-hmm. Like, I always enjoyed going out and doing stuff. And it made me not want to do anything either.
Right.
Like, I just wanted, because I didn't want to cause myself to have one of these episodes.
Right.
Because it was scary. Like, and it was embarrassing kind of too. I'm not going to lie. It was embarrassing in a way too. Even though all my friends knew what was going on and they didn't like judge me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to lie. At the beginning, they did judge me when I was falling asleep. So that was another thing. I was falling asleep just randomly. Like, I would literally be talking to someone and I could fall asleep. And I remember the first time, it was in July, we were at a birthday party, a surprise birthday party. And I was talking with my one friend and we're having a conversation and like we're sitting in camp chairs across from each other. And I guess all of a sudden I just fell asleep and I was like, you know, up like in the chair, like sleeping.
Yeah.
And she took a picture and she sent it to our group of girls, our text group of girls, and was like, guess Megan's real tired kind of thing.
Oh,
and she did not mean it in any way, like at all. Like it was just like joking. This is just us like being silly, you know?
Yeah. But still, she didn't understand like the level of vulnerability that you were having with everything going on with your body that you can't control.
But at that point, too, I didn't even know that this stuff was totally happening to me. Like, I mean, I did, but like I didn't. This was early on.
Yeah.
So, but I remember that clearly because I'm like, and she would be so mortified. She'd be like, oh my God, I did not mean it like that. And I was like, I didn't know it was like that.
Yeah.
Honestly, either. So I didn't know, but I was kind of embarrassed because like, oh, I didn't mean to fall asleep. Like, why did I just fall asleep?
Right.
So that was the start of then the falling asleep thing. Like, I was always tired, but it was like, you know, it was just weird. But either way, I ended up getting into a sleep doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And they then, of course, this doctor did not want to listen to me and didn't write anything in the notes. And there was a lot of issues with him. But he put me into a sleep study.
Okay.
To see, he said that first I had to go on a CPAP, which I was like, I have no issue sleeping. Like, I do not have sleep apnea.
Right. Like, the problem isn't like staying asleep. It's the fact that I keep falling asleep.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. So he put me on that for 3 months. He made me do that before I could do a sleep study, which is awful because I couldn't. For people that have CPAPs and they work for them, great. I am a mover and I cannot sleep with something like on my face. And it was awful. I got worse sleep. Like, well, I was
you
like,
didn't need it. That's not your problem. Yeah. So yeah, I'm sure it just exacerbated everything.
Yep. So then I got to go to the sleep study, but I go into the sleep study. And if anyone's ever having a sleep study, they put like all these electrodes all over your head and your body and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
That takes about an hour to do that. And then they put you in the sleep study. So this is at night, right? I did not even make it into the sleep study without having a seizure because of my anxiety, I believe, is what happened. Like, that was got my emotions going. Like, I was nervous.
Yes.
And so I started having a seizure. Well, they take me to the emergency room, and then I was never able to finish my sleep study because I didn't have enough time to finish it. That's when I saw the neurologist then, because they're like, what's going on, you know?
Right.
And that is when they told me that I had the non-epileptic seizures caused due to stress, and that's why I came and saw you. Because I couldn't get in to see like the therapist that they taught, because like there's ones that are like specialized in this, you know, whatever.
Okay.
Ending up, I didn't even technically have it. I mean, I was having the seizures, but it
was something
wasn't
else.
Quite, so it didn't really matter. But I was like, I met you in a networking group, and I was like, oh my God, I actually first was like, oh my God, I love your name, your business. So that's why I wanted to first meet you and just like talk to you, you know? And then I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know, I am stressed out with my kids. Like thinking about it really, like with the mothering part, it's like, it is the kids that have like added so much stress onto my life. And I love them. I would never do anything to not have them. But like,
of course, that's but it's was really like, overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, well, let's try this. Let's see if she can help me, you know, at least until I can see one of these specialists or whatever, you know, kind of thing. And you totally helped with so much because you helped my anxiety go down and realize too, like, things don't not everything matters as much as I thought.
Right.
Like, I know a lot of our coaching and stuff like that is mindset, and you just telling me how it is, and like, I needed to hear it. You didn't know me well, so you could just tell me it. You did, you know, and that was good. That's what I needed, honestly. Yeah. I remember you telling me, like, what was it about the, I think it was Easter baskets. Like, you were like, do you want to do Easter baskets? No, then don't do Easter baskets. Yeah. Like, do what you want to do. Like,
yeah.
And oh, God. So let's see, like, we were coaching. So I just got the diagnosis in the end of November in 2023. Mm-hmm. We were coaching in 2022, right?
No, we were coaching last year. So we coached, I want to say we started in March, April, May, okay. I think is what we did.
Yeah, that sounds right. Okay. So yeah. So the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was having lots of like, I mean, honestly, I didn't like my life. Like, don't get me wrong. I wasn't going to go and commit suicide like that way of it.
Right.
But I was very depressed.
Yeah.
I was extremely depressed. And depression does run in my family. When I was younger, I did take depression medicine and stuff, you know. So I was very aware of it. And I was like, I am completely depressed. I'm not wanting to go out and see anyone.
Yeah.
I'm wanting, like, literally people would have to make me, like, my husband would have to make me go and do something, right?
Yeah.
That I didn't, like, I mean, I'd go grocery shopping, all right? Like, you know, do the things that needed to be done for my family. But otherwise, like, I had to get pushed to do anything. And I could tell I was very much in a funk.
Mm-hmm.
And that you came along and we started, you know, working on that. And I feel like while we were working on it, because that was, you know, before summer, I started getting a little bit better about wanting to go and do stuff and just realizing that not everything had to fall on me either.
Yes.
Which was huge. For instance, one thing that remember that I don't do anymore, and I've taken back a little bit, but my husband's always been the cook in the family, which is great. I'm lucky that way.
You are very lucky.
and he does the dishes.
Yep. But I remember you had a hard time with the dishes because he wouldn't do it like on the schedule that you wanted him to. So there would be dishes laying in the sink and you would have thoughts about that. And then you would like just do it for him. And then you'd be bitter that you had to do it for him because it was supposed to be his job. And I'm like, but if you just left them there long enough, he would do them.
And guess what? He did. You know, and so there were things that I just started letting go.
Yeah.
And letting me as a mom not think that I had to do it all.
Yes.
Because I needed the help because I was so exhausted. I was so down. I was not in a great place.
And yeah, well, your body was dealing with so much. Like, your body was doing so much and under so much stress. Like, I actually don't know how you that you were still working while
I don't either
dealing with all of that, because just the physical symptoms alone and just me thinking about how exhausted you probably were every fucking day. I don't know how you were keeping up with everything that you had on your plate.
I know. I honestly don't either. And I guess I never actually really told anyone yet, now that we're, you know, 20 minutes into this, what my diagnosis was.
Yes.
I'm wondering. So I actually have type 1 narcolepsy. So it's narcolepsy with cataplexy. And the cataplexy is like the seizure type of episodes that I'm having.
Mm-hmm.
So I 10, like I said, I was able to control them. But like people that didn't know, like, oh my God, if people didn't know about my stuff, like they would like look at me if I'd have one, because I couldn't tell you to just like, hold on, I'm having the, you know, this episode and I can't talk to you. I can't like, and I'm shaking and convulsing. Like it looked like a seizure. Like people were very scared.
A seizure.
Yeah, it is, right? But before I even got diagnosed with that, it's like I needed to figure out how to manage it without being diagnosed with whatever, you know, whatever I had. Well,
yeah, because
going
the medical
on,
system was totally failing you. They were just
completely.
Yeah,
I mean, like just, literally,
it's just seizures that you're giving yourself with stress. And it turns out it wasn't that. It actually is like a physiological thing. And then emotions compound and make it worse. But I hate that you got the, you know, well, you're just stressing yourself out, woman. So go figure out your stress so that you don't have seizures anymore. Like, that's such a bullshit, like, response that you got.
Oh, yeah. It is. And that's what I think a lot of people are dealing with in the healthcare system, too.
100%. Yeah. If you don't advocate for yourself.
So many people like you that aren't, you know, like, do you know what I mean? That are helping people, because the people in the actual healthcare system aren't really helping.
No,
very much.
No, you have to do so much advocacy for yourself as a patient. And that's really hard to do. I was doing a podcast interview with another woman, and she went a very long time without a diagnosis too. And it was a mixture of like, are you on drugs? Are you crazy? And it turns out she had brain lesions, and it's like,
oh my God,
no, she's not crazy. Like, why don't you treat her? Like, just it's okay if you don't know the answer right away, you know? And I think doctors just tend to have this God complex. And so if they don't have the answer right away, or pretty shortly after they do a bunch of tests, they're just like, well, it's you. It's like, no, that's not an acceptable answer. Stop it.
It literally, when I got that sleep study done, the one that I actually, so I ended up in November having a sleep study done in 2023. I literally had the sleep study done. The next day, I got a phone call from the doctor saying, 100%, this is what you have.
Wow.
You are right. Like, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Like, now this doctor is awesome. Like, he listened to me from the get go, and he literally thought from the first appointment we had, which was at the beginning of November.
Yeah.
He looked at me and said, I believe you have narcolepsy. We are going to figure this out. We're going to get it taken care of so that you can have your life back, because driving. So I couldn't drive really.
Right.
Basically, I couldn't drive because I could fall asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
I found myself driving, and I've always been a big driver too. Like I used to drive an hour to work and an hour home, like kind of thing. And I couldn't drive.
Yeah.
Like I would fall asleep while driving. And granted, so they say a lot of people with narcolepsy, they can actually literally drive themselves home sleeping.
Really?
Because you know your route, but that scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I have two little kids. Not only do I not want to kill them, I don't want to kill myself, because my husband would not be able to deal with the kids without me. But you know, I don't want to kill someone else either.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so like that scared me when there would be times I'd be driving and all of a sudden I'd be like, I don't remember passing that exit.
Oh my God.
So, you know, because sometimes I could maybe fall asleep for like a minute. Maybe it was, you know, but like I knew my routes. So my car almost just drove like, you know, Flintstones. Like it just drove and you tell, you know, like when I, you know, but I like that scared me. So I stopped driving. And then now, mind you, I was not legally not allowed to drive.
Right.
I could legally drive. But I was scared to drive. So like
when
we went on a road trip with my husband, like he drove the entire time.
Yeah.
And I felt bad because I was like, I could like help, but who knows? Because I would only allow myself to drive a half hour distance at a time. And that was it. And I made sure to have a nap in and all that too.
Yeah.
So it sucked. But I honestly, it was funny because I'm thinking back about it, and we started, I like you said, in March, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I had this appointment with this new doctor, and I fell asleep 10 minutes before I needed to leave for the appointment.
you meant.
I was sitting there waiting to leave to go to the appointment, and I couldn't then get in to see him until November.
Oh my God, that's heartbreaking.
And so you, like, in that meantime, like, I mean, granted, I didn't really know what I was wrong, but, like, I still was not okay with their diagnosis of that they were non-epileptic seizures caused due to stress. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't convinced because I was like, it's not just that. Because once me and you got done coaching and I felt really good about where I was at and, like, mindset and all that stuff. I was like, I felt like my stress, yes, for sure my seizures went down as we were coaching. I want to say, if I remember right, like, by the time we were done coaching, I wasn't really having too many a week. Like, I feel like I might have just had, like, a few a week kind of a thing.
Yeah, and, like, we had a check-in in June. So between, and I remember, because I was just so happy for you, like, in May and June, you were just like, I'm pretty sure I only had one seizure and it was just a laughing seizure. Like,
yep.
So you had periods.
So it wasn't stress. It was, you know.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And it was,
so,
like,
I was excited.
It was a period of, like, 6 or 8 weeks where you had, like, one and it was just a laughing seizure.
Which is huge compared to, like, having multiple a day or even, you know, one a day or even one a week. Like, you know, it was huge. So I was like, okay, so I was able to manage some of my, you know, and just, like, putting things off to my husband too, like, asking for help, like, literally, you know, like, he would put away dishes when he came home. Like, he'd do the dishes and have them in the sink, and then I used to always put them away.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even do that. Like, that simple of a task, like, I was so exhausted. I didn't have time to do that and still be able to get my work done, get my kids to school, get everything, you know, in order. And so, like, that was something I just, like, gave up on because you said, you know what? If they're sitting there, they're going to finally get put away. So I just did. Same with laundry. I was asking for help. Yeah. I was asking for it. And so I did. I asked him, like, you know what? He can help me with this stuff too. I'm in a bad place, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I am medicated and my life is literally, like, I mean, the day after. So he called. Am I in my sleep study on a Wednesday night into a Thursday day? Friday, I got the call from my doctor. Saturday, I was put on medication already. Saturday was I didn't have to take a nap for the first time in 4 years.
Oh my gosh.
I was up all day long.
Yeah.
Like, and I was still going at 8:30 at night and I'm like, oh my God, wait, I didn't even take a nap today. Like, I'm still awake.
Yeah.
I'm kind of tired, but, like, that's normal. Like,
right.
A normal person gets tired eventually. You know? I mean, so I have to remember that I am a human still, that I am going to get tired occasionally, but I don't know. I mean, it was amazing that I'm like, okay, like, one day on medication was life-changing,
right?
Like, I didn't think it would be that, like, dramatic of a change because I was like, normally it takes, like, a month for you to get, like, medication in you and all that kind of stuff to actually, like, have it work.
Yeah.
But yeah, after one day already I could tell a difference. And so since November have had two seizures and that's it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, what, almost 6 months, and I've only had two, and one, and then they were both, like, I looked at my doctor, and I said, basically, you just had to up the one medication, like, because we're playing with it, you know, and he's like, I was like, I want to be able to last so hard, you know, kind of thing, that I am, like, peeing my pants, like, that type of laughing, I want to be able to do again, because I haven't done it in 4 years.
That's so,
like,
sad.
Us as women, like, we need to laugh. We need to cry. And we need to, those are things that we need to do. And like, I was scared to do those things. Those things are things that, like, are very important for your health. Like,
yes,
like, laughing is good. Even crying is good. I mean, not crying all the time, but, like, you know, but crying is good. Like, you need to let your emotions out. And all that stuff was bottled up in me.
Right.
All of it was bottled up. So it was amazing. And I was thinking about it the one day and I called you. Was that last week that I called you?
I can't remember if it was last week or if it was the week before. I'm not sure.
Either way. But I was like, I've been listening to your podcast and stuff because I've been listening to more podcasts and just, you know, whatever. And
yeah,
I was listening and I was like, God, I really need to just tell her that I don't think I would have made it through, like, from that March to November without your help, without you being there and just telling me what I needed to do. And, like, I mean, honestly, most of it I knew, but you just saying it, you know, like, I needed the coaching. I needed to figure out how to live my life where I was at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, I mean,
and it's one thing knowing something, and it's another thing when you have someone who's holding you accountable to the change that you want to make.
pretty much, you know. So I've kept, even though, like, all that stuff, though, like, I told you, you know, that this year is all about taking my life back.
Yes.
I am taking my life back because I have not felt like myself in 4 years.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad. And it was like, I'm like making sure that I remember those things, like things like my kids, I don't really yell at them anymore. Don't get me wrong. I do. There are times I yell. I'm a yeller. I think a lot of moms are yellers. Like, maybe not all, but, like, you know, a lot of us are.
I'm definitely a yeller. Like, we're a loud household, and it's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's okay. You know, I'm a yeller. But I have learned to not yell as much. Like, it takes so much. If I'm yelling, I'm like, they have really done something naughty. You know, or I am just at my wit's end. Yep, I'm at my last button. But it's all been like, let's talk. Let's talk this through, because my kids were very much a huge stress. And I know I was stressed out. Like, I know I was.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that my medical issue wasn't it wasn't because of stress.
Yeah,
I got my medical issue kind of thing.
Right.
But I was stressed out. I was. And I needed to learn how to just, you know, and like, I'm almost trying to do it to my kids too. Like, I'm like, let's talk this out.
Yeah.
Let's figure this out. Like, not that I've always been sort of like wanting to try to talk things through with them, but like more so than ever. I really try not to even like raise my voice at all.
Mm-hmm.
Until it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
Because I think they're getting it better. They're understanding. And so now I have to work on that with my husband on how to talk to them. But like, I literally, that's a huge thing that like, it was just like how to talk to my kids and how to like not let them affect my moods, because it was in the mornings like, okay, actually this morning, guess what? I remember, like, if they stressed me out in the morning, like, they wouldn't get up to go to school or whatever, that would literally set the tone for the rest of the day for me.
Right.
And I couldn't get out of that.
Right.
That was one thing you really helped me with.
Yeah.
Okay. This morning, my son, it's raining here today, or well, it was this morning.
Yeah, it's
and
raining.
He said, I can't go to school today. He's 9 years old. And I said, what? Like, why can't you go to school today? Like, what's wrong with you now? Like, you know, it's raining. I'm like, what? Like, that's not even an excuse. Like,
we are in
raining?
Wisconsin, son. We do not miss school over rain. We don't even miss school for like 9 inches of snow.
And that's what I'm like, what? It's raining. Like, you know. And so he was like all like, and I'm like, okay, now I had a meeting before we like did the before we're recording this. Then I have another thing after this. Then I have I see my doctor today to follow up with him. But like, I'm like, I don't have time for this. I literally said that to him. I looked at him, I said, I don't have time for this today. I, you know, and we talked and like, clearly, I got him to school. I got him on the bus and all that, you know, whatever. But I'm like, that would have already ruined my day. I don't think that right now I would be like, okay to talk to you. I'm like, do you know?
Right.
Like,
yes.
I literally, like, that would have ruined my day. And I would have gotten something done. It's not like I wouldn't gotten anything done.
No, but
done,
you would have been carrying.
You would have put a damper.
Yeah, you would have gotten it done while carrying a bunch of stress on you. Like, your experience of your day would have felt totally different.
And now I've learned that I need to just, you know, like, I'm trying not to, like, so my kids get on the bus at, like, 8:15-ish, let's say.
Yeah.
I'm trying to basically, like, not even have anything scheduled to, like, 9.
Mm-hmm.
So that I have, even if they do stress me out a little bit in the morning, I have that little bit of buffer time to just, like, okay, let's just relax for a minute.
Yes.
Get on with my day.
Not schedule yourself within an inch of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think we all do that too, because, you know, that's just the nature of what we do.
Yeah.
But I learned so much from you, even though, again, like I said, it might have been stuff that, like, did I really learn it or did I just need to hear it? You know, like,
did you just need someone
that's
to,
what,
like,
most of us need?
Yeah. Or did you just need someone who was, like, walking with you, like, side by side through the change? Because to change your thoughts and to change your habits and to release stress is very hard. It's hard to do because,
oh yeah,
all you know is what you know, and it's hard to make the change. Even if you intellectually know, like, okay, I'm pretty sure if I figure out how to do this, I'm going to feel better. Still getting yourself from, you know, point A to point B, like, you need someone to help you with that bridge. It just,
yeah. Well, I mean, it is. I mean, then that's everything in life. Like, cause even think about, like, okay, so, like, with this whole diagnosis in the 4 years, I gained 60 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So not only did I not feel like myself inside, I didn't look like myself.
Yeah.
And finding out this is a very normal thing with the weight gain with narcolepsy or whatever, but, like, I knew that, like, losing the weight would make me feel better, but, like, I still didn't necessarily go and work out. You know, yeah, because I didn't have someone holding my hand to do it.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, like, making me do it.
Right.
You know, kind of a thing. So it's like, that's in life. You just need someone sometimes to hold your hand and tell you you're doing this wrong. you should do this better. You should, you know, like, but it is like, and even I had my one friend over yesterday that she just recently quit her job. She's having her midlife crisis. And yeah, figuring out what she wants to do next with life. And she's a very organized person. And that's what I'm trying to do, is get my life back in order and organized and all this stuff. And I was like, well, I could hire you to, like, help me, like, kind of a virtual assistant, like, helping me set up some systems and, like, yeah, stuff like that. And we're talking, and by the end, she looked at me and she's like, and she knows me, she's known me for over 20 years. Right. Yeah. She's like, Megan, I think your biggest thing is that you put your kids first, and your kids are the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, they are. But she's like, and she's like, it's not a bad thing. And now she doesn't have kids either. So she doesn't, you know, but she's like, everything comes back to the kids. I'm like, so me trying to schedule my day or, like, that kind of thing. Like, I'm like, so many things could pop up. You know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And having kids, like, all of a sudden, oh, this kid, you got a phone call that the kid puked at school. So you, yep, have to go pick him up. So now that just wastes an hour of my day. They don't want to get out of bed. So now I have to go take them to school instead of them get on the bus because they missed the bus. You know,
right,
like, those things all, like, put dampers in our day.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she's like, that's the one thing that, like, basically your life, you need to have, like, a pretty, like, a schedule that you can kind of, like, you know, adjust, and,
yeah,
you know, because things do happen. Like,
yes,
you can't book yourself thin.
Right.
Which, like, maybe, like, today I may have booked myself thin. I didn't realize I did until, you know, that's, like, the nature of what because I like being busy. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get this done, this done, this done, this done, this done. And
yes, I'm the same way. And it's not a problem that you might have, like, overbooked yourself today. It's just at the end of the day, if you realize, like, oh, that was too much, just, like, the key bit is just, like, not shitting on yourself for doing it in the first place. Right. And also just using that as information for tomorrow, being like, okay, I learned something from today and I'm going to take that into tomorrow. And yeah, like, moms, we have to leave more flexibility in our schedules than we usually do because things are going, yeah, to come up, like they always do. Someone, you know, like you said, is puking at the school. Someone forgot a leotard. And so you have to make another round trip from home to the dance studio again.
Yep. Why do you pack 4 pairs of tights, Mom? I'm like, just in case anything happens at competition. You never know.
You never know. And I'm not
driving home.
No, I'm not. I'm not doing it. Exactly. But the only reason why we pack 4 tights is because of the times that we didn't have the tights.
And we learn from our, you know, everything. I mean, and that's, I think, too, part of my outlook this year, too, is like being positive and thinking like, okay, so like, for instance, did I overbook myself? I may have, but did I make it through? Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. This is an awesome, like, great. Yay. Yes. You know, something happened with the kid's window and we need new windows anyways. And I'm kind of like, whatever, like, we need new windows. So like, I mean, yeah. Do I want to pay the money for the windows? Not really. But, right. You know, it's just I'm trying to think of all the positives and everything now.
Yeah.
And stop like shitting on myself, basically. Like you had said, you know,
yes.
Like stop. Like it doesn't matter. Whatever. My daughter's 4-wheeler caught on fire the other day, like a couple weeks ago.
Oh
yeah. Yeah. Story. See, like you can't even make up my life. You can't. Like there is so, you know, it started on fire and she was so sad. And I said, literally, I'm like, Peyton. No one got hurt. You were not on it, which she wanted to be on it. She was crying because she wanted to be on it. Her dad was getting it ready for the season.
Yeah.
You were not on it. The house is not burnt down. The camper, the boat, the like everything's okay. Guess what? We'll get you a new one.
Right. Right.
Like, yeah. Hey, look, she got her dirt bike early. That's what she wanted. She wanted a dirt bike and she was supposed to get it at the beginning of summer if she worked at school good and blah, blah, blah. But she got it early because I'm like, you know what? I don't even care. I'll get it early because I get it. Like, it's turning on fire. Like, what are you going to, like, it wasn't her fault that it started on fire. Like, right. You know, and whatever. So I'm like, but thinking of the positives, like, I'm just like, I don't even care what happened. I looked at my husband. I said, I don't even care. You don't have to tell me the story of what happened, how it started on fire.
Yeah.
Not that he really totally knew it was a fluke, you know.
Yes.
But I'm like, I don't even care.
Yeah.
Because we're all safe. We're all good.
Yeah.
Our house is good. That's my thinking is now I'm just trying to be so positive. So positive.
Yes. You know,
my husband might hate me sometimes. It's like, oh my God, you're too positive. I'm like, you know what? I'm like, I'm just trying not to be negative because I know we all can be negative. We can all be negative occasionally and not saying I'm not still negative at some points, you know, but I try to like, if I do go negative, I try to then like, well, what was the positive of this? Like, you know, kind of thing. So,
yeah, no. And it's important because
stuff like, you taught me.
Yeah. In doing that, you're helping to like rewire your brain into looking for the good and not in a toxic positivity way. I will never, ever subscribe to that. Don't do that to yourself. Anybody listening, do not like just that's bad. But our brains are like, they're running on filters all the time. And so if you become a negative person and you realize like, oh, wow, I actually spend all of my day complaining every single day. And you realize that habit of yourself, it's just because your brain is running on this negative filter. And so in order to change that filter, you have to like intentionally and purposefully start looking for the good. If you want to, if you want to remain a complaining asshole, that's your choice. You can do that. We always get to choose.
Yeah, but it's not helping anyone. It especially isn't helping you. And, you know,
it just doesn't feel good in your body. Like when I'm in a bad mood and I'm just like bitching about every little thing that's happening, it just feels really awful in my body. It's like, why would I want to feel this way?
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, Megan. Yep. I am so happy for you. I'm so happy that you finally got a diagnosis. I'm sorry that the medical system fucking failed you miserably. You should not have had to go 4 years without a diagnosis. Right? That's just horrible. It's absolutely horrible. I'm really honored that I got to help you in that last bit, you know, your last little bit that you had to get through before you got your diagnosis. And I'm so happy to see you just like, you just seem lighter. You know, I can see.
I am.
Yeah.
I can see. Everyone has said that. I mean, lighter too, because I know I've at least lost 15 pounds like since I've been on medication too. So lighter that way, but lighter, like everyone said, my face, like when they see me, it's a different, I have a different, you know, look to me now that I don't like.
Yeah.
It feels good.
Yeah.
It feels good to like be happy, to like know what's going on, to know that I wasn't crazy. Like this isn't something I did to myself. It literally, narcolepsy is literally a chemical that is missing from my spinal cord. So there's nothing I can do. I can't add it back in, but I feel great. And I owe a lot of it to you because I mean, yes, the medicine helps and all that, but I still had to be like in this mindset to, you know, figure out all this stuff and deal with my kids and to, you know, and I'm a better mom, which is good because, you know, I felt like kind of a crappy mom, even though I know I wasn't at all. Not. That was in my head. Yeah. That was my head.
Yes.
But I know I can tell I'm a better mom, and my kids are like, they can see a difference. They know. They know what's going on. And they're like, Mom, we love this, you know, kind of thing. Again, yeah. So.
The same thing happened with me too. Like I've always been a really good mom, but after working on myself, like it just made me a better mom. But that's the thing, like, you know, you were saying earlier how you are working on not yelling at your, like not just jumping to yelling and talking with your kids more, but you would not have been able to do that had you not done the work on yourself first.
No, absolutely not.
Right.
And so I've learned that we need to take care of ourselves first. And that is something that I think it's hard for all moms. We all like want to take care of everyone else first. And that is something I definitely learned in the, you know, from all this that I had to take care of myself first. And then I could take care of dealing with everything else. But I needed to be.
Yes.
I needed to be a better version of myself and figure myself out before I could go and be like, oh, I'm going to be a better mom. Like, no, like, you know, it just doesn't work that way. I mean, we love it too, but it doesn't. And I needed to work on myself. And I think more moms need to just, I mean, even if you don't feel stressed out, you don't have like a medical condition, you don't like, you need to hear what you need from yourself to, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's one of those things I think us as moms, more moms need to have a little life coaching, little stress relief, because we all have it. We know it, you know?
Yeah. And I think we just get used to the stress. Like, you know, you.
Oh, 100%.
You just get used to your normal everyday stress. And you're just like, well, yeah, it's just.
This is normal.
It's just going to feel this way. And then you learn how to operate at that level of shittiness. And so you don't even realize what you're missing out on because it's just your normal.
Pretty much. Yep. And now I'm like, oh my God, like, I love this. Like, I don't have to feel like that. And I, you know, it's great.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Forgot about my lightning questions, which I'm happy that I remembered while we were still on. All right. So what did you want to be when you grew up?
A marine biologist.
A marine biologist. Fascinating. Why a marine biologist?
No, I love animals and I love like the ocean and all that kind of stuff. And I don't really know why I was good in science. I don't know why I wanted to be a marine biologist, but I did.
Awesome.
Maybe like, let's see, what was that movie? Like not Flipper. What's the dolphin movie from?
I know what you're talking about.
God,
I can't remember the name, but I know the movie that you're talking about.
Oh my God!
Oh, it's gonna bug me.
I know. Okay, I gotta write. I gotta Google it.
Please Google it. It's gonna hurt my brain if I don't know from the '90s.
'90s. Oh, that's not it either. Zeus and Roxanne, that was one, but that's not the one I'm... Really? Is it not the 90s? Oh my God, this is going to drive me nuts. I'm sorry, of course. Why? Really? Really? Come on, Megan. What? It was from the 90s?
Yeah. Wait, was it a dolphin movie or was it a whale movie?
Oh, Free Willy!
Yes! Yes!
Free Willy, there we go. Sorry. Wasn't dolphin, but there was dolphins in it.
Yes.
I think because like that came out in like my era and like stuff like that. I think maybe that might have been part of why I
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not really sure, but I wanted to be in the warmth. I wanted to, I don't know, you know.
And then stayed in Wisconsin.
And then I decided, I was like, oh, that's really not something I'd want to do because I have all my families here and I'm very, very family focused. So, yeah, but random, right? From what I am to what I wanted to be.
That's just, that happens. I wanted to be a Spice Girl. Clearly, I'm not a Spice Girl. Like, we have very different versions. Like, we think differently about our lives when we're children. And that's why I asked this question. What is your favorite kid-free dinner? So, like, if you're picking dinner, you're picky-ass kids, and they're...
Like, oh, they don't have any say. They don't have anything. Any
say. You get to pick.
Mexican. Mexican or Chinese?
Nice.
I can't pick between the two because I love them both.
What's your go-to Mexican dish?
Fajitas.
Fajitas, nice. Nice. My favorite is the carnita tacos from Azul. We have a restaurant over here called Azul Tequila, and they're so good. Their carnitas are so good. It's like just the right amount of crisp.
I love all Mexican pretty much, so...
I do too. I'm half Mexican. It's what I grew up on.
I'm not at all, as you can clearly see, but I love Mexican.
What's your favorite book?
Oh my God. See, now you got me on a bad one. I don't read books.
That's fine.
Other than children's books lately. but I've been starting to try, like, I'm like, I do need to, but I would fall asleep super easy.
Right.
With all of that. So maybe I'll start to again. I like romance novels that have mystery in it too, kind of thing. Nice. Sort of, okay. Like, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
I loved the 50 Shades of Grey books. Those were probably the last books I read before I had my kids. And then.
Yeah.
Now it's been kids' books, so.
What is your guilty pleasure entertainment?
I watch a lot of, like, YouTube.
Yeah,
YouTube. Videos that are just, like, literally, like, I do, like flipping and stuff like that, like, selling and all that stuff. I watch a lot of, like, random videos of, like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, God, I watch a lot of teen shows. I probably would like Disney shows. I love Disney shows. Like,
that's amazing. Yeah,
watched all of them. So that's a guilty pleasure. Cause I mean, I'm in my 30s. I probably shouldn't be watching teen shows anymore, but
why not? Like, it's fine. Yes.
And so I like that type of thing, but I don't watch a lot of TV, honestly, because I'm always moving and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Enjoying your newfound energy.
And then I fall asleep when I start watching something. So I'm just excited for my new energy that I have. So I'm not like just running around constantly.
Yeah. So this next question I stole from the Low Life podcast because it's too good to not just take. If your belly button was an actual button, what would it do? So you'd push it and something would happen every single, or you'd get something every single time you pushed it. Well, like, there's no wrong answer.
Oh my God. That was a good one.
Right?
What a get. Maybe touch my. A compliment.
I love that.
I mean, I'm sure I could think of something else too, but like, I think everyone needs a good compliment all the time.
Yes. Yes. Like, words of affirmation is my love language. So that's that, like, rings true.
I tell
true
my husband,
me.
Like, hey, even if I don't look beautiful, can you just tell me I'm beautiful occasionally? Like, not every day. I don't want to hear it every day because then it just like sounds like no. Like, I just want you to occasionally be like, oh, you look beautiful today, or,
yeah,
oh, are you losing weight? Which he is starting to say, because he's like, wow. He's like, because he's trying to lose weight, too. No. So you're losing weight. But yeah. So I feel like a compliment, because anyone could touch my belly button, and they could get a compliment.
Aww.
And that'd be funny. Like, I'd, like, laugh, too. So, yeah. And then that makes them happy if it was a compliment. So
there's I love my- that. I love that answer. Mine
I was not
is,
prepared for that.
I know, but that's the beauty of these questions. Mine is I would want to push it and like make the world quiet around me because I get really overstimulated with noise with my children. They're so fucking loud, especially in the car. Like I would just want quiet.
Gotcha. Instant like, quiet. Oh, all of a sudden, like, oh, they get along right now. Oh, that'd be a good one. Like,
yeah, right.
Sometimes they get along and then sometimes they don't. And it's like, oh my God, can we just get along? Yeah, everyone just get along. Everyone peace.
Yeah. And if we're not going to get along,
stop fighting with your friends too. Like, let's just all get along. We're in peace.
Every time we're peace starting with our children.
It comes down to.
Yes. All right. Last one. What's one thing in motherhood you'd love to say fuck it to?
Teaching kids how to like sleep properly. So like bedtime thing. You know what I mean? Like just.
Yes. I'm so
I just
done.
Have them during the day and not have them at night.
Yeah.
But my one son was a very bad sleeper. So, but even to this day, now they complain about going to bed. So like the whole bedtime thing.
Bedtime sucks ass. I hate bedtime because I'm so
brush
done.
Your teeth, go to bed.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm ready to go to sleep. And then they're not. Bedtime sucks so much. That's definitely one thing I'd love to say fuck it to as well. So proud of you. Thank you so much for coming on. It's so great to see you again. Like
yes, you too.
I love this version of yourself. I love your mantra for this year, reclaiming your life, like just taking it back for yourself. And thank you for coming on.
You're very welcome.
Are you living your one wild life to the fullest? You're not? Why the fuck not? What are you waiting for? The time to live is now, mama. Do not wait until your youngest is in college. Let your dreams hire me for an hour so I can explain how I can help you achieve any goal in your life. You've put yourself off long enough. It's time to pour into you. The link to schedule your 60-minute complimentary consultation is in my show notes. Join the community of Fuck It Moms by following me on Instagram and Facebook at Fuck It Mothering. That's fuck without the U. So F-C-K It Mothering. Make sure you subscribe to my channel so you never miss your weekly encouragement. And please rate, review, comment, and share. All of these things help with the algorithms, so that way when other overwhelmed moms are looking for encouragement, they can find me. Every month, I give away one of my favorite books and a Starbucks card to a lucky winner. All you have to do to enter is write a review or tag me in social media when you share an episode. See you next Sunday, gorgeous.